Well, Mark has been in demand and he's been out speaking, and so I've been getting to preach a little bit more. And the last time I was able to fill the pulpit, I don't know if you recall, you may not, but if you do, we talked about peace like a river. You may recall that, and we compared the peace that flows from Christ to attributes of rivers around the world, and we looked at that. And so today we're going to talk about joy like a fountain. I'm going to guess that more than likely you have a really good idea of what my next sermon title is going to be. when that opportunity is presented itself, we'll tackle that one when we get there. Joy like a fountain. You know, Jesus is quoted 7 times of saying, "Be of good cheer." 7 times he says that. A lot of times he would attach that with "be of good cheer" and "do not be afraid." He had a very positive ministry, didn't he? Jesus was a very positive person. And that probably explains one of the reasons why these large crowds followed this man all over the place. He was a very positive person. Crowds followed him, but, you know, and we're supposed to model Christ, and we're supposed to be like him. And I think about how positive Jesus was, and I know I don't measure up to that sometimes. Sometimes I don't feel so cheerful. You know, as a matter of fact, most of the folks who root for my team, we were not very cheerful yesterday. I didn't feel very cheerful last night. And some of you were very cheerful, so congratulations on that. But there's other times in life where I go through things, I don't feel cheerful. There's troubles, there's stressors in life, there's ups and downs, and it's hard to have joy at times. It's difficult. But I think back on Jesus even more, and I realize that even he, in Matthew 26, said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Even Jesus dealt with sorrow. And I think about Paul, the man who wrote the words, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And I think about some of the words that he wrote, Romans chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. "I tell the truth in Christ, I'm not lying, my conscience is also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart." And if you go on to read down, you see that he has this sorrow because he has brothers and sisters that are in a lost state. So even Paul, the Apostle Paul here, he deals with sorrow. We have human emotions. God created us. God experiences those emotions. Jesus lived those emotions as a man here on earth. But the point is, joy is the goal. Joy, a joyful spirit, is what we all should be working towards and striving for and hoping to share with others and share with the world. We're to be a happy people. Look over in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Philippians today. I'll tell you why just in a second. But in Philippians 4:4, it's one of those verses we've probably heard many times if you've grown up going to church. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." So we have a commandment here to rejoice in the Lord, to be joyful. We're to be a happy people. Well, today we're going to take a look at joy. The book of Philippians is a book of joy. It's a book of happiness. If you take the book of Philippians and you maybe compare it to some other books in the Bible, maybe the book of Jeremiah, it would be almost the opposite tone of the book of Jeremiah. After all, Jeremiah was the what kind of prophet? Do you remember? It's the weeping prophet. You know, so Philippians is a different mindset than that. It's got a different point to make than what Jeremiah had to make. Also, maybe you compare it to the book of Ecclesiastes there towards the end, where the preacher says, "Vanity of vanity, all the world's vanity. Woe is the world, woe is me. Everything is just not good." Well, there's some truth in the course. There's truth in what the writer of Ecclesiastes had to say. But man, would you really like to be around somebody who had that mindset all the time? Oh no, I wouldn't want to be. That would be a downer. That'd be a downer. Philippians is the opposite. It says, "Rejoice." 18 times in the book of Philippians, the word joy or glad or some variation of that is mentioned. Comes out to once every 5 verses. Philippians is a very positive book. The church at Philippi, if you take a look at that, you might understand why the church at Philippi and Paul's relation to it communicates joy when he writes to them. After all, Paul did write the book of Philippians, and he goes to the church of Philippi on his second missionary journey. When he goes through there in his second missionary journey, there's some key converts. You may have heard names from your Bible study like Lydia. You might be familiar with Lydia, the first Gentile convert, or the Philippian jailer. The church in Philippi is a great church. And Paul was twice the preacher there, the local work, Acts 16, Acts 20. Twice he's the preacher there. And he's also their foreign missionary. Paul is very close with the Philippian church. This church is close to his heart. And so when you go back and you look at Philippians and the people of Philippi and the writings of Paul, you might understand why joy rises to the top of his writings. The church at Philippi, if you go through the book of Philippians and you look at the book itself, you can break it down real quickly to get a better appreciation of what the theme is through the book. In chapter 1, verse 21, we see there's the Savior. For me to live as Christ. So we have the Savior. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. There is service. Letting this mind be in you, which is in Christ. And then at the end of verse 8, taking on the form of a servant. In chapter 3, we see sacrifice. All things lost. Verse 8 of chapter 3. And in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 12. And all things to tell all. And then verse 13 says, that great verse, I've been given all things. Christ, I can accomplish all things through Christ who strengthens me. In verse 13, excuse me. And so we go through there and we see Savior, service, sacrificed, and satisfied. And so we have a Savior serving, sacrificial life that leaves us satisfied. I'll say it again. If we go through the pattern of the book of Philippians, we have a Savior serving, sacrificial life that will leave us satisfied. And if we're satisfied, and then we should be in a state of joy. So where better to go this morning than to study the subject of joy than to look at the book of Philippians? And this morning I want to present four comparisons between a fountain and the joy we find in Christ. First comparison. Fountains have a reservoir. Just the other day, I got to visit the cemetery where my grandparents are buried in Selma, Alabama. And turns out that I've driven by this plot many a times, maybe even hundreds of thousands of times. No exaggeration. And I did not realize that the plot that my grandparents had purchased and picked out decades ago was to be next to a fountain. And I didn't realize it was next to a fountain because the fountain's not functioning. It's an empty pond of concrete. And it's kind of discouraging. And I don't like that very much. And Dad doesn't like that very much either. But for whatever reason, the Pine View Cemetery in Selma, Alabama, doesn't run that fountain anymore. I don't know why. And if you go walk up to it, it's empty. The reservoir where the water should be pooled up has nary a drop of water in it. And so it's empty. Fountains have to have a reservoir. If you were to build a backyard fountain, they would come in and they would dig out a hole. They'd probably bring a backhoe in. They'd dig it out and they would line it with rubber and they'd put some weights on it. Usually they use rocks or something like that. And they would come behind this after this rubber lining is filled up the hole and they would put water in it. And therefore you have the beginning of your fountain. You have a reservoir. You can't have a fountain without a reservoir. And you can't have the joy about Christianity without the reservoir. Look at verse 4 of Philippians 4 again. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I will say rejoice. Look at the first part. Rejoice in the Lord. So what is our reservoir as Christians? What is our source of joy? It's the Lord. Now, it's not just as simple as reading those verses real quickly and go, God gives us joy, so we're all good. There's a little more depth there. Paul puts a little more meat on the bone in this meaning when we take a look at it. When we're trying to understand Scripture, I have found one of the best things to do, besides putting it in context, it's what's the first thing we need to do, is to go and look at the writer's other writings. And you take the writings, we're talking about Paul, and look at some of the other books that Paul has written, has penned, and see where did he use words like that elsewhere? What other book did he use terminology like this? And then you can have a lot better understanding of intention and the kind of the complete meaning of what the writer through the Holy Spirit intended when he wrote the words, particularly the words here of in the Lord. So let's go back and we'll look at the very beginning of the book of Philippians in 1:1 there. And he says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. So the saints are in Christ Jesus here at the beginning of the book of Philippians that Paul is writing. Another book that Paul wrote is Corinthians. He wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he also greets them. He has a little bit different greeting that I think we maybe can gain some depth out of and understand what he means when he tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 of Corinthians says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. To the church who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The church is in Christ Jesus. Are you following him there? Are you following Paul's line of thought there? So we have the church here, the same author here. He's equating being in Christ with being in the church that belongs to God. In Philippians 1, he is writing to the saints there in Philippi. He's writing to the saints in Corinth. And so when he tells them, when he uses the words to in Christ Jesus, rejoice in the Lord, then we can know from his wording in 1 Corinthians that he intends to communicate that if you're in Christ Jesus and you're in the Lord, you are in the church. You are in the church of our Lord and Savior. The church of God, as 1 Corinthians refers to it as. So we are to find rejoicing in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the church. We're in the Lord. That's the reservoir. That is the source of the fountain. It is the source of the joy. The reservoir. The Lord's church. You see, true joy comes from a sense of belonging. It comes from being together. It comes from unity. And happiness truly flows and cannot be separated from being connected with Jesus Christ and His people. This is the reservoir of joy. And this morning you may be sitting there going, well, I'm not a member of the church and I'm just as happy as you can be. Well, I can't speak for you personally. I don't know your life. But I do know the blessings of the Lord's church. And I do know what His plan for man is and how to redeem them. And I do know the promises that He has for the future for His people. And I can say with great confidence that joy is found in the church and will be found even more abundantly in the future. Joy is found in the church. It should be, at least. You will not know true joy without belonging to the church that belongs to God. You cannot have a fountain without a reservoir. And you cannot have joy without the source, which is Jesus' church. It should be a happy place, shouldn't it? We should be a happy people, shouldn't we? We should be smiling. We should be glad to come together. Right? After all, didn't a perfect man die for you? Didn't he die for me? And when you think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me, I think a lot of emotion should come to mind. It's perfectly fine to feel guilty. It's perfectly fine to feel sorrow. To think about what the man went through for you and for me. Think about his agony. We should feel those emotions. But as we go through this string of emotions, at some point in time, we should land on joy. That God sent him to die for me, that way I can be with him. We should be thrilled. We should be positive people. And I don't know sometimes if we measure up to that. And I'm talking about myself, too. It's easy to be negative, isn't it? It's easy to concentrate on the things that are bad and to totally miss God's blessings, isn't it? It's very easy to do that. And unfortunately, I've seen that manifest itself in the church where this should be the reservoir of joy. But we have people who get upset, and we have people who are hurt, and we have people who stomp off and say, I'm leaving the church because somebody said something mean to me. Or I'm leaving the church because nobody asked me to do anything. Or I'm not going Sunday, I don't feel like it. Jesus hung on the cross to die for you, and that's our attitude? Oh, never let it be. Never let it be. We should always be searching for reasons for joy and to share others. And if that's you this morning, please find the joy that Jesus is wanting for you. Don't be that negative person. And if that's a person has affected you like that, has said something to you like that this morning, don't let that kill. Don't let that prevent you from getting the blessings that God wants you to have. Don't concentrate on the negative. That's what Satan wants you to do. Let's all find the joy in the church. That's God's plan. The belonging, the community, cheerfulness is linked with Christ, and you can't have Christ without the church. Next thing. Fountains have a restriction. I am no expert plumber by no means, so maybe Derek would be better to come and talk about this part than me. But from what I understand about a fountain here, that they would have some type of impeller. That's the right word. I know I'm not ignorant on that. Not a propeller, but an impeller. A propeller will drive something away, like a boat or an airplane. An impeller would suck something too, would siphon in. All right. So a fountain has this impeller, and it pulls the water in from the reservoir, and usually in our day and that time, it'll pull it into a PVC pipe or a cement pipe of some type. And it restricts it down. In Roman time, they had gullies. They would funnel the water through a gully and restrict it down, and it pressurizes it. And so the fountains have a restriction. So we have the reservoir of church, the reservoir of where we find this joy, and we have to pull it through somehow. How do we pull this joy through? Philippians has a restriction. He tells us to rejoice. And if you look at the word in the original language there, the meaning there, and that's why you see again, in the verse there, the meaning there is to keep on rejoicing, continually doing it. And this is not a suggestion, church. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a commandment penned by an apostle of Jesus Christ through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is a serious commandment. And we're to be a rejoicing people because of this. You know, I'm not preaching from a self-help book this morning. I'm preaching from the book of God, preaching from His inspired word. We're commanded to be joyful. And if you look over in Philippians, turn back a couple pages if you're in 4, we're going to go to chapter 2 for a second. Chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 to be specific. Here is how we can channel this joy into making a difference. Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And yes, I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice of the service of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Here is Paul. He says, through our sacrifice and through our serving and through our faith, our joy is restricted and it's poured out and it's funneled elsewhere. Through our faith. You know, my pew packers, they can do this 5 steps to heaven pretty good now. Do y'all remember at church, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live faithfully? That's great. That's wonderful. But I'm afraid sometimes we look at it a little bit like this. Hear, then believe, then confess, then be baptized, then live faithfully. That's not the point. Our faith has to be the dynamic that drives our lives. Everything we do is because of our faith. We don't believe and then hear, believing, and then move on from that to something else. No, that's quite the opposite. Our faith goes throughout our whole lives and it pushes us through Romans 1 tells us to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, walk by faith. Our faith is the dynamic by which we live. And without that faith, we don't have joy. No matter what comes, I have faith that God is who He is. No matter what comes, God is real. Heaven is real and His promises will be fulfilled. No matter what comes, good days and bad, I know and I believe He cares for me because He tells me so. And heaven will be mine. Faith that pushes us through, that makes our joy manifest. Joy in Christ is being tunneled through our faith. Faith building up, growing our faith stronger and stronger gives us joy. It removes those doubts out of our lives. It helps us deal with the hard times. It strengthens us. Faith building inside of us produces joy straight from the throne of God. And next. So we've got a reservoir, and now we have a restriction. We have the waters flowing from the reservoir into the restriction. We have the church with joy stirring in it, coming through, and we're realizing this faith is being built. The joy is being built through our faith and our restriction, and it has to release somewhere. The water can't just sit there in the restricted area. It has to go somewhere. Without that, you don't really have a fountain, do you? You have a bunch of water just pooled up, building up. And so, fountains have a release. The largest fountain in the world, which happens to be pictured in our PowerPoint today, is found in Saudi Arabia. 284 feet high. The biggest one, I believe, in America is 194 feet. It's out in Arizona. But 284 feet high. You take that football field there at Cedar Ridge Middle School, turn it up on its end, stand it up. Pretty close to what that fountain's shooting up. It's a tremendous amount of water. Tremendous amount of pressure creating the release. You know, our faith is our joy is released in two different ways. Go back to Philippians 4. We're going to look in verses. We'll start in 4 again, but we'll get down through 7 this time. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. One way our joy is released is through the way we deal with others. Through the way we treat others, our gentleness being known, our love being known, what we have for one another being known, sharing our faith with somebody else being known, showing an example of a serving heart, letting our love and joy be known, visiting those who are sick and those in the hospital so those people care for one another, helping somebody who's had damage to their home, reaching out when there's hurting. I remember the book of John. Jesus says something along those lines too, doesn't He? They will know you by your works, by your love for one another. See, our faith is, our joy is released through this fountain by the way we deal with one another and the way we care for one another. It's also released through another way. Continue on in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing. That's a tough one when you get that call from the doctor and the results aren't good. It's tough to not be anxious then, isn't it? Or you have that moment in life where everything changes, wherever it might be. It's hard not to be anxious when we go through those times. But we have to try to be anxious for nothing. And through the support that we get out of our reservoir and through our care for that should be shown for one another, we should have hope that we can get through those times without too much anxiety because we are connected to something greater. And we can have confidence. Confidence that our Lord's promises are real. Confidence that better days are ahead, even if it means eternity. We can have confidence. And so our joy is released in two different ways here. Our love for one another, and it's also released in our confidence that we have in God's promises and what He will do for us. And finally, fountains recycle. fountains recycle. We have the joy that we find in the reservoir. It gets restricted and becomes stronger through our faith. And then it's released in our care for one another and our confidence in what God says He will do for us. And then, of course, if you know a fountain, the water lands back in the reservoir and the process begins all over again. And that should be the same with you and I. Think about those great men and women maybe who have gone on to their reward, that have lived before you, that were examples to you. The messages that they taught, maybe even more important, the messages that they lived. Have you taken attributes of some of those people and shared them with others? And hopefully they will take those attributes and share them with somebody else. And you see, we have a recycling going on. We have a recycling going on. Working with our young people would be a great way for you to do that if you're looking for a way to share. I would love to help you be involved with our youth ministry. Maybe you can help Tom with the Last Leaders Program, and on top of my mind, because the young men leading worship tonight. But I encourage you to be a part of this recycling process here. After all, doesn't he say, rejoice in the Lord always and again? Remember the thought from the original language there? Again, continuously doing these things? There's a recycling process that has to be going on for a fountain to keep working. It has to move that water through and through. It can't just output it one time. That's not much of a fountain, is it? I don't know what we would call that. But for a fountain to truly be a fountain, it has to pass it on. In verse 8 of Philippians, Paul says, the things which I've learned in me, these do. Do the things that I'm doing. I'm teaching, so teach others. I'm writing, so write to others. I'm concerned for you. I'm praying for you, so be concerned and pray for others. We have a responsibility to keep this process going, church. For joy like a fountain to truly be manifested, it has to recycle. You know, there's a tombstone that reads, died at 30 and buried at 60. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be me. I don't want to live like a dead man without the joy of Jesus. I don't want that to be you. Without the joy of Jesus. And you can't have that joy without first being part of that reservoir. You know, people in Acts chapter 2 had their conscience pricked. And they said, what shall we do? What do we do about this? We are not living the lives that we should be doing. Something is wrong. And they're told to change their ways. And they're told to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And then they're added to the church. They're put in the reservoir where joy should be found. This morning, if you need to be added to this church, added to the church that Jesus died for, you have to become a Christian. You have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do the same thing we see people do in the Bible. God's plan is beautiful and it's simple. Have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ this morning if you need to. And you will experience a joy that I promise you, you never have. And this morning, maybe you've lost your joy. Maybe that negativity has overwhelmed you and you can't find it. You're not functioning like this fountain should be functioning. We can fix that. Fountains can be repaired. We can fix that this morning. We're a church and we're here to love you and show you the love of Christ. If you need anything this morning, I invite you to please come forward as we stand and sing this song. He has the words of life.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to Thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus,